Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is number 166, recording on Sunday, February 11th, 2018. I am joined by my two trusty co-hosts, Tim and Lizzie. Tim, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty darn well, Lou. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. It's February. It's the week before Valentine's Day. It's, I don't know. Black Panther coming out this week. That's the big thing, so. And Lizzie, how are you?
I don't acknowledge Valentine's Day as a national holiday. I acknowledge Galentine's Day, which is February 13th.
I think Singles Awareness Day is the 15th.
I don't need to be aware of my singleness. That's rude. I'm already aware. It's my life.
It's a made-up holiday, folks. Face it. I mean, you know, Hallmark designed this one to make us buy cards and candy and this kind of stuff. But
yep.
Oh well.
That's true. I'm going to still buy myself candy, but I don't need any holiday for it.
I buy myself candy all the time. I don't need a holiday. Although I don't usually buy it in a heart-shaped box, but, you know.
That does make it more whimsical.
It does.
If nothing else, that gives us the whimsy of opening a heart-shaped box.
I did see some Star Wars heart-shaped boxes in Walmart a week ago. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, there you go. Did you buy some? Not only for yourself, but for your SO.
I thought about buying one for my wife, but yeah, I figured that wouldn't go very well.
So. But she hates hearts and chocolate?
No, she's not a huge Star Wars fan, so.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Okay. Fine. Respect.
Oh, boy. So what have you guys been watching? Anything good, Tim? What have you been doing on the streaming or the television?
Well, as a lot of folks know, I've been waiting with bated breath for the Olympics, and they have not disappointed. These first few days, actually prior to the opening ceremonies, most Olympics usually start actually like 2 days before the opening ceremonies for scheduling things.
I just learned that, by the way.
Which is frustrating. I don't know why they do that.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's a scheduling issue, which they have to give resting periods for some of the athletes between events and such, so it actually allows.
Scandal.
There's some events that go before
early, and you get ousted before the opening ceremonies, and you got to walk. And it's like, really, that's got to be a real letdown.
Well, I don't know. It still celebrates you having been in the Olympics. I mean, like, that's not small thing. You should still celebrate that, even if you lose.
Exactly.
No, true.
Exactly.
But yeah, so, I was surprised by that. Yeah.
Started that a couple days before the opening ceremonies and watched the opening ceremonies, which were good. They didn't have like that punch that we oftentimes see. But they were still very nice. It was still very nicely done. And it was, a lot of countries, when they do their opening ceremonies, a lot of times it's a kind of a celebration of their own history and culture and that kind of stuff. And that's certainly what South Korea did. And obviously there were little elements that were put in very much last minute, because this whole unified thing, North Korea, South Korea, was really just transpired within the last week. So there were certain elements of unity for the Korean Peninsula that were kind of integrated into it, which was kind of nice. And then been watching various events since then, which is tough because the time difference.
Oh, I know.
Really. Yeah, the time difference really screws you up, unless you're willing to be up at 3 a.m. to watch some things live. So truly, and because my whole house is very much into the Olympics, we are recording things, we're DVRing things in the middle of the night to then watch the next day. And
on social media, and you already know, okay, this guy's going to win this medal, and okay, I don't really need to watch it now. But it's still fun to watch, but
the
suspense aspect of it.
Yeah, it makes live tweeting harder, though. And that's like a huge thing about live events, though. That's like a big part of the culture now.
Yeah. So it's, sometimes, you might catch some stuff 7-8 o'clock in the morning, kind of the last bits of their events before they're all going to bed. And then, around this time, 8-9 o'clock at night, you may catch the morning events that are transpiring there live. But during the day, you really don't have anything. So. Before the Olympics started, we actually started watching the Taken series on Netflix, which is, I guess, kind of a prequel of sorts to the Taken films with Liam Neeson. And it's they're interesting.
Unnecessary.
Okay. no, it wasn't really necessary.
Sounds strange.
The first one was good. The second episode was good. And then it kind of started to get really redundant.
Well, like, spoiler alert, Liam Neeson ain't in them, you know, so.
Yeah, it's not Liam Neeson. The actor who plays that character, though, is pretty good. And the problem is that it simply becomes repetitive of itself and really the whole nature of the films, in that, like, every single movie, surprise, someone has a daughter, and double surprise, they get kidnapped.
Hey, why the girl always get kidnapped?
And then
That's so annoying.
He ends up being part of this team that goes and rescues them. And it doesn't make any sense with the role that he plays, because he's in kind of like some covert, like, not CIA, because it's a lot of the stuff is domestic, but he's in like some kind of covert special operations team. But they're not really like a kidnap and ransom team. It would make more sense to me if that's what the team did, but there's just really no definition to what this special operations group does. And there's some very odd editing choices in it, which I found to be disturbing, almost like it was intended to go on a network where there would be commercials, because their cuts, the screen goes black for half a second before it then goes. And it's to the point that it's like really disturbing.
They don't understand the medium yet.
That's really weird. If you guys, I mean, you can certainly edit out that second of blackness.
Exactly.
Is it a show by Netflix though?
I don't know. That's a good question. Well, I don't know.
I feel
know.
Like you would. I don't think it is. And if it isn't, then they don't know how to work. Like, if you watch any show on Netflix, they know how to edit their show for binge watching for no commercial breaks. So I wonder if it can't be.
It may be one of those things that was created and then basically sold to the highest bidder, which happened to be Netflix. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to discourage anyone from watching it, and we may still finish the season. I think we got maybe 4 or 5 episodes in, but watch it and see for yourselves if you like it. It was good.
I like the Taken movies, but like the damsel in distress trope is a bit. If that's like what the show keeps harping on for me, I'd be like,
it just seems to recycle that over and over again. And it starts with his sister, who actually does not get taken. His sister gets killed. Spoiler.
Sorry. Oh, okay. So she's either dead or taken.
That.
But that's very early in the first episode. I mean, that's essentially his motivation for everything else.
And no one's got a vulnerable son over here. Come on.
No.
Yeah, I don't think this is actually a Netflix series. I just found on the Wikipedia. No. It says it was an NBC series.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Premiered on February 27, 2017. NBC renewed for a second season of 16 episodes in May. Premiered on January 12, 2018.
So I'm just watching it on... I think it's not a Netflix original then.
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Interesting. Okay, didn't know. So I guess maybe then that's the reason.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailers just now. I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
I just think you would know if it was Netflix. They have a certain flavor of their shows, and that ain't it.
Yeah.
But it sounds interesting.
Lizzie, have you been up to anything good TV wise?
I am in the middle of my Road to Infinity War, P.S.
I forgot about that, yes.
Yes, I'm going chronologically. You don't have much time. No, I have the perfect amount of time. I posted my schedule on Twitter, and I have it all planned out between now and Infinity War. I'm going chronologically through the actual Marvel timeline instead of release date order, which is different than I have watched it before, which I sort of love and am excited about because it's a different way to view the timeline. So I started with Cap on Friday night or whatever night I started, Thursday night. And then I'm watching Agent Carter all 18 episodes this week. And then Black Panther is going to be a little bit out of order because I'm going to watch him on Thursday, obviously. And
I was actually just going to ask, are you going to save Black Panther for right before Infinity War?
No, you must be crazy.
She's not going to see it opening night. She's going to wait.
No. I am going to probably watch it like 4 times between when it comes out and Infinity War.
You may get to the theater and find it doesn't work for you. I mean, you don't know this. It may be horrible for you.
Are you... joking? I don't understand the content.
You haven't seen the movie yet, so maybe it's not going to be good.
I don't understand the content of your paragraph. No, your sentence structure is broken to me. I don't get it. No, I'm going to love it. I already do. Shut up. But I do have it in my schedule to rewatch again. And someone was like, wait, are you, because I have like live tweet with me at whatever, because I post the times when I'm going to watch them so people can watch with me. And I have like Black Panther is like, I don't know, the day before at 11 p.m. or whenever it fits in my schedule, in my timeline. And they were like, are you going to go to the theater and live tweet? And I was like, no, I'm not going to live tweet at theater. But I was like, well, that's going to be in April. Maybe I'll be lucky and find like a dead 11 p.m. theater and just like me tweeting in the theater. Like I would do that if no one else was in the theater. I would totally do that. So I don't know. I could get lucky.
You could probably do it from the last row of a fairly empty theater. Then you wouldn't disturb anybody behind you.
Yes, I could get away with that. I'm perfectly fine live tweeting in a theater. I just would never want to disrupt another person's experience. I'm very...
Opening night in the second row with an iPad.
Yeah, like I brought my computer here.
Instead of typing, you're going to dictate your tweets to it.
Yeah, I say them out loud. Yeah, that's what I do. So anyways, that's what I'm doing. So right now I'm on episode, I think, 4 of Agent Carter, rewatching Agent Carter. Because obviously she's – someone asked if I was going to be able to do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I might attempt it because the chronological order I found does have episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sporadically throughout the timeline mm-hmm. when they're supposed to be watched. So I could potentially
– play with movies, yeah.
Right. Well, especially the Winter Soldier timeline, which was my favorite crossover thing. Mm-hmm. Like Lady Sif shows up. So I might actually try to do that. So we'll see. It's a very ambitious goal, but I think I'm going to try it. So right now I'm on Agent Carter. If anyone wants to join in, my schedule's pinned to my tweets and you can watch along with me.
That's what I'm watching. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I actually haven't been up to anything on television besides the Olympics. Catch up on a few shows here and there, but nothing earth-shattering or special. Just watching the Olympics. I have found that the little watched stuff, the stuff they don't really broadcast at prime time, like curling, is great to watch on demand. Comcast did a pretty good job with that, so it's pretty good. But otherwise, yeah, nothing new. I've got my tickets for Thursday night at 7 o'clock to see Black Panther, and I'm excited for that.
Excellent. Nice.
Yeah, not that I'm I want to give Lizzie money for the movie draft, but yeah.
You want to? Don't lie. Don't lie to yourself. I probably won't be going till after 9 p.m. because I work on Thursday night. So, but I'm gonna be going.
Yeah, I'm off on Friday, and I was able to get a seat at 7 o'clock. Like one of the last seats in the theater was in the back row, in the center, which I was pretty happy about. So,
sweet.
I'm excited. Let's see. Speaking of box office, we have our updates for this week. No surprise here, I guess. 50 Shades of Freed is number one movie this week. Don't give me that face, Lizzie. It was expected. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Not that it.
I agree. It was expected, but still, subject matter is. Bleh.
Yeah, I know. So it did $38.8 million. Peter Rabbit took number two spot with an estimated $25 million in its first week. And the 1517 to Paris took $12.6 million its first week. And I didn't realize that the 1517 to Paris was done with the real guys from the train.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cast in those roles. Yeah.
Which is like, interesting because.
Pretty wild.
I mean, they're not actors.
No.
I'm sure they went through some kind of acting lessons to prepare them for this. I'm curious. I haven't looked for any kind of feedback on how they actually did. And actually, aside from when they were first promoting the movie, I really haven't bothered to look at anything on it.
Well, in those roles, I mean, that's all on the director.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all on Clint. If they did good performances, that's got to be on Clint Eastwood. So that's awesome. But I'll wait till it's on streaming somewhere for free. So,
yeah.
Number four this week was Jumanji, bringing its total up to $365 million over 8 weeks. And The Greatest Showman rounded out the top five with another $6.4 million. The Greatest Showman?
What?
But what? Yeah, whatever.
Which is just still amazing. I mean,
yeah, both of those are in their eighth week of release.
Yeah, for Jumanji to be hanging in there is great, and it's but it's still kind of expected. But boy, for Greatest Showman to be hanging in there, that's just really a surprise. It's a lot of staying power. That's impressive. Yep.
And both those movies had dropped down a little bit and came back. I mean, yeah. Greatest Showman was out of the top five for a while and came back in the top five for the last 2 weeks. So that's impressive.
What?
I know.
You know how much I love that movie, guys.
Next week, of course, we have Black Panther. We just talked about that.
What?
It has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's impressive.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's going to... What do you think opening weekend, Lizzie? What's it going to do?
I'm bad at that game, but I don't know. I really think that it's going to blow... I think it's going to break records because of, I don't know, social climate. First Black superhero to get a standalone. I mean, I think it's important for... It's so important to have that diversity. I'd love to see more of it. I don't know. I just think anything that I do, I can't make those predictions. I'm so bad. I want to say like 200,000, but like I think that's too high. But I also think it could easily do it. Like I think it could easily do it. I just do. But I think that's probably high.
Yeah, I think that's probably a little too high for what
I mean, but I don't know. Like, sales are already super high, 98% Rotten Tomatoes. Zero people, except for like alt-right crazies, have been like against this movie. I don't know. It's just been a really great outpouring to see, and I'm so excited for it. I think Chadwick is amazing. I think the whole cast is amazing. I don't know.
And it's getting really good press everywhere. It's getting not just the reviews, but it's being handled well in the press. It's being marketed pretty well.
Like it looks fun. The cast is having a blast. I don't know. I just think that it's got so much working for it. Plus, given the time that it's coming out, I just think, I don't know. I think it's primed for like blowing expectations away. I do.
So now the top movies from Marvel Cinematic Universe as far as opening weekend release goes, The Avengers was 207.
Civil War?
Age of Ultron was... Nope.
I was going to guess. Okay. Yep.
Age of Ultron was 191. Civil War was 179. Iron Man 3 was 174. Guardians is 146. Iron Man 2 is 128. So it drops down pretty good from there. I think it's going to be solidly in the middle between 100 and 200, 150, 160.
Yeah, I think so.
I think with all the press about it, with as good as it's getting reviews of, and like you said, just the social content right now of where we're at.
Well, and the tentpole of it being the first Black superhero to get a standalone movie in the Marvel Universe, I think that it cannot be underestimated. Like, it just can't be overestimated, underestimated. I don't know.
True. Tim, what's your recommendation or your projection for what Black Panther will do opening weekend?
I mean, it's obviously going to do incredibly well, and I think it probably stands to, I dare say it stands to hit 85, 90.
What?
No. Really? Wow.
Forget it. It's way above that.
We're saying 150 because or something.
Justice League was like 97 or something like that open weekend, and it got panned and people hated it.
Right.
Yeah. There's no, this is like wide over, like, no, it's going to be 150 easy. I am giving it like higher. I want it to do two.
Now, Ant-Man did 57.
Understandably so.
Wait, I'm surprised by that. I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised.
I'm surprised it's that low, yeah.
Did it have a rise?
I'll go 125. Okay. I'll go 125 on it.
Okay. I was going to say. It's going to be Justice League, I'll tell you that much, right now.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, of recent movies, I mean, Thor Ragnarok did 122.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming did 117.
Yeah, it's gonna be above that. Those.
Yeah, yeah. And Guardians 2 did 146. I think it's gonna be in that 140 to 160 range,
or the 200 range, whatever. I'm just saying.
Oh boy, here we go.
No, and has nothing to do with my bid on it. I really believe. It's why I bid on the movie I believe in it and how much I think it's important to see this kind of. I don't know, difference in I don't know, allowing a different tone in the movie making and allowing it to be so diverse in order to tell his story properly is so, it cannot be underestimated. It cannot be. It's exactly the right move for Marvel to take with this. I just want to see more of that.
Well, it'd be hard not to be diverse with the name like Black Panther. If
well, of course.
A different way, it would be a little hard to do. But
well, I
yeah, no,
agree,
I think it's the right movie for now. If this came out 10 years ago, it might not do as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This is the perfect time for it. Yeah.
Yep. Also this week, Early Man. I'm promoting that because I have that in the movie draft. So just
it looks. You know, I think it looks cute.
If you're looking for an alternative to, you know, a violent movie about people that kill each other, you know, Early Man looks like a good choice.
Yeah, so you're not looking for an alternative, though, so make good choices.
Yeah.
Coming up the week after this, we do have Game Night and Annihilation. Both those look really good, I think.
They do.
From my perspective.
Game Night looks so funny.
Yeah, Game Night actually looks pretty good.
It does. It looks really good. Hopefully that not all the good stuff is in the trailer. That's the only problem I have with a lot of comedies.
I feel like it came out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, I saw a trailer, like, last week, and I was like, what is this? I'm excited about that.
Let's see. Speaking of our movie draft, you can go and check that out by going to randomchatter.com/moviedraft for the latest update. I updated those this afternoon, so we are up to date. And right now, Andre is in the lead.
Andra!
I thought I had this, but no, she's got me by about... 5 million, 10 million, I guess. Yeah. So I'm kind of bummed about that. But they were about almost halfway through, I guess. The end of the month will be halfway through. Some big movies coming out. I still have the best $1 purchase at Insidious The Last Key. Some big movies coming up, though. I mean, Lizzie, you have a chance of doing really well with Black Panther. So we'll see how that turns out for you.
Oh, I don't just have a chance, my friend. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but it's like the only chance you have. So
yeah, but I don't need any more is what I'm saying. I just need the one.
Oh, okay.
I am not throwing away my shot.
Because most of his movies have been delayed. Three of his movies. And in fact, he's the only one with delayed movies this time.
I've just given up hope.
Is it bad luck or is it?
We know how good Tim is at this game anyways.
I've given up hope.
Yeah, so he had Cloverfield God Particle, which became Cloverfield Paradox, that was released to Netflix. So if we added all the Netflix revenue from streaming services to Tim's thing, that might help.
I win.
But we're not doing that.
Not how that works,
and,
bro.
You also had The War with Grandpa coming up later on, and that got canceled. And The Upside, and that got canceled too. So, well... I mean, good news is you only spent 5 credits on The War with Grandpa and Upside total. So, in Cloverfield, you didn't spend a lot of either. So, it wasn't a huge loss to you, Tim.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I've given up all hope.
But Tim, the Fantasy Movie League, you're doing pretty well in that.
Not this week, not last week.
Oh, no.
Oh, what happened? You were so high on the fact that you were winning all the time. And I mean, you still have 3 wins. Nobody else has more than 1. So you're still good there.
Yeah.
And you're still leading the overall.
Timothy. The last couple weeks have been tough.
The really sound of defeat in his voice.
They have been hard. Like, as soon as I see the selection, I look at it and I'm like, and then it takes me like 3 days to figure out what I'm going to do. And it's very difficult, but everyone should join in on the fun that I'm not having.
Yeah.
randomchatter.com/FML invite.
You too can have a terrible time.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of fun. Really.
It
is.
Actually is a lot of fun. It's,
and you can say to yourself, FML.
Whenever I see that, I always think, no,
that's a terrible
that
name for it.
It is. I don't know. I messed mine up this week, too, because I thought I had 50 Shades Freed on my list, but I don't. I have Peter Revit twice.
Oh. So,
I mean, I still beat Tim, so that's good. But
hey, the results aren't official yet until tomorrow. So don't get all your hopes up there, Liz.
Are you saying you have a chance?
Wait. You're in 8th place, Tim.
I was in 6th place yesterday from yesterday's
you're
estimates.
In 8th place, so you're going down.
Yeah. And then I look at today's estimates, and I'm like, 8th? How did in the world did I go to 8th place? But I guess I'm just sucking really bad.
Yeah, I'm in fourth this week, so I'm not doing too well. Lizzie, have you joined us yet?
I have not yet.
No.
Lizzie.
I know, I'm sorry. These have been a couple weeks that have not been my favorite, so.
I know.
One day I'll be with you. I'll be back.
Yeah, it's been rough. I'm looking, well, of course, the crazy thing is that I'm really interested to know, for as much as 50 Shades went for in this one, which was like 250 or something, Lou, wasn't it?
It was a lot, yeah.
What?
It was really, how much is Black Panther going to go for? If the box office prediction on Black Panther is three times what 50 Shades was predicted, because 50 Shades was predicted to do about 40 million and it came just shy of that. Is Black Panther going to go for 800 credits?
It might, but thing? You know, if it brings in 150 million, it's going to beat everybody else's score from last week. I mean,
so then everyone's going to pick that and then they'll throw in whatever junk to fill their screens and that's it.
Right. Right, exactly. It's gonna be a really weird week. Yeah, I mean, unless they make that score or that movie so high to purchase, like 950 or something like that, then it's gonna hurt you.
I don't know, like 89 credits or something.
Well, see, in Fantasy Movie League, their base is 1,000 credits instead of 100.
Oh,
right. But and they base the movies on what they feel they're gonna do.
So 890. Right. I got you.
So they give you, they assign a value to each movie.
I'm just saying it's worth it.
You have to fill your theater. It's a similar system, but slightly different.
I'm just saying it's worth the money. You know what I'm saying? That's what
but
I'm saying.
But it's still a lot of,
it's worth all them credits, yeah.
So if anybody listening is not in there yet, come on, join us. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, so let's go into our news for this week. There was a cast picture for the Marvel Cinematic Universe posted. IO9 had this up. And this is pretty cool. It's got basically everybody who was anybody, except for the ones they missed, in this photo, right? I mean, how many people are in this photo?
That's a good question, Lou, and I am not prepared for that answer.
Oh, Tim, come on.
I didn't see how many were in it. It's so many. It's epic.
It's pretty cool.
There's four or five rows here on these risers, and it's a really wide shot, and you can zoom in pretty nicely on the screen, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's everybody who's involved in this movie, pretty much.
The majority, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to think of, like, I think Lizzie says before we started recording, what was the scheduling like trying to get everybody in the same place at the same time?
Oh, my God. It had to be a nightmare. And I bet they just took who they could and offered it to everybody and were like, what's the best day for the majority, and went with it. Because there are significant missing people, like Loki. Tom Hiddleston's missing. I think Brolin's missing. Josh Brolin.
I don't think Brolin's on there.
I think Spader's missing, James Spader, Ultron, you know, like significant people that should be in there. I think Mickey Rourke is missing. He should be in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who else? Guy Pearce, you could put. I don't know. There's so many that you could really put in there. And then you see the kid from Iron Man 3 and you're like, hold on. What? What the junk is doing in there?
It must have been scheduling. It just had to be scheduling. And I looked through, I'm like, Who is that? It's like, oh, okay.
So. Yeah. And keep in mind, this is not a photo of the people who are in Infinity War necessarily. This is
a class picture
to celebrate their first 10 years of Marvel films, of MCU films, and other things, obviously, because they included some of the Netflix stuff. And,
now, what I want to know is at the very left-hand side of the picture, there's a hand and a shoulder. Who'd they cut out?
Left-hand side, there's a hand and a shoulder.
Oh, I see. You're right.
That's it. On the very first level. I'm like...
You're right. They did.
That guy's looking at the picture going, wait a minute. That's me. What am I... He's wearing jeans.
You know, another significantly missing person is Paltrow. Like, Gwyneth Paltrow's not in this thing. Oh, no. Is that her?
Well, she's there.
There she is. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't find her in one picture, and I forgot that she is in there. Okay, good. Huh. Woo.
So, yeah, it's incredibly just so neat to see all these people in one place. And, you know, just kind of some, you know, cool poses from a lot of them. It's just a neat thing. I mean, it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things for the MCU, but it's just cool to have all these people.
No, it's cool. They did this and celebrated their longevity, I guess, which is nice.
Well, yeah. May 2nd is their official 10-year anniversary of Iron Man's release.
10 years.
Yeah. And that's cool. What this photo is for, is the 10-year anniversary of their first movie in 2008, mm-hmm. which is Iron Man 1. Mm-hmm. I'm watching Friday, mm-hmm. 9 a.m. if you want to join me. and I don't know. I just love it. If you watch the behind-the-scenes featurette, it talks about how it really felt like goodbye for a lot of them, because it will be. That made me feel, I was like, I'm going to be like teary all the way up to Infinity War, and then it's just going to be like...
Well, Infinity War is going to be a game changer, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I both love that about that, and like, I'm also like, I'm going to cry. I'm just going to cry.
So speaking of the Marvel MCU, a trailer was released for Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yawn.
No, we don't have any response from Tim because he's left the building. Lou, how excited are you for Ant-Man and Wasp?
You know, it looks fun. It looks like a lot of fun. I like the first one. I mean, it wasn't a great piece of, you know, cinema by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a fun movie. I thought it was great. I mean,
it's a unique flavor in the Marvel universe that it is lighter in content, which you don't like. Yep. There are a lot of heavier movies. I mean, even Guardians has those moments.
Yeah, but it feels more like a comic book than anything else.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
You know, it has a really good comic book feel to it, which is a lot of fun.
I think because of the shrinking and the growing and the like the train set and the Thomas the train and like, those parts kill
there's
me.
There's a lot more of that in this trailer than I think the first whole movie had. I mean,
like the Pez dispenser and
the Pez, the Hello Kitty Pez dispenser was awesome.
Tim, you better mute yourself right now. You zip it. I said, Tim, better zip it.
I thought the shrinking of the building and having it as a suitcase was pretty cool.
I love that.
Fun, neat thing.
I love that.
None of this makes any sense. None of it is like, oh my God, what does it mean for the whole franchise?
Oh my
no,
gosh, it doesn't need to.
So
it's trying to be Deadpool, and it can't get there.
It's not trying to be Deadpool at all.
They're trying to have the same brand of comedy as Deadpool.
Also, it came before Deadpool.
No, come on. What are you smoking? It's not even close to being the same
good
thing comedy.
That's going to come out of this movie is the Wasp. I think the Wasp is going to be a really incredible character in this.
I mean, yes, she is, but you suck.
But unfortunately, she cannot save the movie. It's not going to happen. The other thing is, why are they making this movie out of sync with Infinity War?
That is a good question, but...
That's a good question, but yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is out of sync. It's supposed to be right after 1. It doesn't fit in the timeline.
But it happens out in space, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So long as they did it before Infinity War, it doesn't matter. It's not relevant to any of the events of Earth.
Listen, you.
Don't be bitter, Tim. Don't be bitter.
Ant-Man sucks.
Yeah, zero people agree with you, though. So, Hasbro.
well, no, I mean, on par with other movies, total, it's the second lowest grossing MCU film. I mean, I'll give you that, Tim.
I want to know what the climb was. It had good word of mouth, though.
It made less than, let's see, two movies did on opening weekend. So both Avengers movies made more than it did opening weekend. But anyway.
Don't give him a foothold.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I shouldn't give him the information.
Yeah,
but,
don't
you know,
give it. Don't feed
there.
The beast.
No, I'm just here. I'm just chilling.
What's interesting I won't skip ahead to what we're talking about, but Josh Brolin is both Thanos and...
Yeah.
Cable.
Yeah,
it's because Deadpool's not MCU. It's Marvel comic book bought and sold.
He doesn't really, Thanos doesn't really look like Brolin, so you can get away with doing that.
Yeah, but it's like Evans being Human Torch in Captain America. It's just because of the ownership rights stuff. But it's still sort of funny, especially now. But before, like when it wasn't a thing, that's when he was Human Torch. It wasn't a thing yet, but now it's a thing.
Yep.
Anyways, I just thought that was kind of funny.
So we got our first look, or our first really good look, I guess, at the Infinity Gauntlet.
Ant-Man sucks.
Do you guys see this photo of the Hasbro collectible toy coming out?
No, but I want it.
I think it looks. I think it looks really cool. But to be honest, I would rather get one of the more premium. The folks who do like the premium collectibles. That's something that I would rather get instead of something that Hasbro does. But this still looks very cool.
That would not be $100, Tim.
True.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can find good, you know, maquettes or you know, action figures or busts for around 100, 150 in some places. Most of them are a lot more, but yeah, I think I'm with Tim. This is nice to have, but you know, it comes in a stand and stuff. I'm not going to put this on a shelf and display it. It's not.
No, that can level you wear it? To me, I'm going to wear it every day and use it against Tim.
Well, the jewels do light up in pulse. I think it is. The jewels do light up in pulse, which is kind of cool.
This is what I need in life, you guys. I'm just going to wear it during podcasting and intimidate you. Don't make me come over there.
What, you and Ant-Man?
Listen to me, you.
Oh, boy.
You listen to me.
So the funny thing was the website, I felt it's the first time I saw the picture of this was on Screen Rant, and they got information from some website called, was it 9/11 Toys or that? It was something weird. And they say, oh, yeah, they're already sold out. I'm like, it's not even released yet. You know, one website has out of stock. And it's like, no, you're not really reporting this right.
Did you say 9/11 Toys?
Well, I did. I'm sorry. Yeah, 219
correct, Lou. That was 219 collectibles.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever, you know?
I was like, what a terrible company name. Like, that company needs to rethink its name.
can I just say, though, here, the description is mildly erotic. When it talks about the Infinity Stones giving off a, quote, pulsating glow.
Please read it in a husky voice.
It is articulated.
Kind of breathless.
And it's sized over 19 inches. I'm just going to.
You got to say it. You got to say it in a breathy voice.
Oh, Tim.
Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay, moving right along.
With pulsating stones.
Tim, I can't take you anywhere. I can't take you guys anywhere.
Oh, boy. You didn't. We came to you.
Speaking of things that are mildly erotic and risque.
Super inappropriate.
19 collectibles. 219.
Yes, I know. 219. 9/11, what, 852?
9/11 is the worst set of numbers you could have come up with for a toy company.
That's right. You guys, like I said, I stepped away. I come back, and as soon as I put my headphones back on, Lou's like, yeah, how much do you think Black Panther's going to make? I'm like, 85.
Tim.
Dear God.
Okay.
We all make mistakes, folks.
It's true.
This is
we do.
Unscripted.
This is live. This is live television.
Except for me.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh God, yeah. No, 89 credits for Black Panther is not a mistake. Okay. Anyways.
Oh, talk to me in a month. Talk to me in a month, Lou. Yeah, we'll talk.
Yeah, yeah. So we should say before moving in totally along here. After this week, Lizzie will be in the lead of the movie draft. I mean,
oh yeah,
hands down, she's gonna have the lead.
Yeah.
I mean, I might make like a dollar, but Liz will win.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, I got Early Man and Sim and Samson. No. Come on. I got two movies that are going to do bank this week.
Keep talking, Lou.
Anyway.
I'm going to have to go to the bank and take out a loan if I want to win.
Maybe it'll help if you keep justifying yourself.
Oh, boy. So we had some Deadpool stuff come out this past week or so.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Speaking of good characters.
Oh my gosh. Oh let boy. It go.
So first we had Josh Brolin teasing about reshoots.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're gonna come back to this topic, I think, let's just blow this topic up right now. Everybody's looking at reshoots as a bad thing.
Yeah, why are they?
Reshoots are normal. That's a normal part of the filmmaking.
Almost every movie has reshoots. Exactly. The director sees things he wants to change. Something has to change for a rewrite or something else in the script, or they just didn't get the scene they wanted. Mm-hmm. They can do a reshoot. Now, you know, reshoots when you hire a new director when there's only like a week left in principal photography. Well, that's something different.
I think people are untrusting because of the Justice League reshoots, to be honest. Like
that could be true. But like the last couple of years, reshoots have been getting a really bad
rap. Yeah, they have. It's weird. It's a total normal part of the process.
Well, and it's because people don't understand. I mean, when they start, first of all, filming for 95% of movies out there does not go in order.
Right.
So like when you're watching the film beginning to end, that's not how a movie is shot.
Right.
They may start filming. They're going to start filming with whatever is convenient for them to do in a set. And
yep. They may not have access to certain locations.
Exactly. Right. Access to locations, access to their talent. They may have an actor who's doing something else who they, you know, they need to work around their schedule. So as they go through this stuff, things are done out of order. And then when they start to thread together their dailies and the takes that they like, they're going to look at things and they're going to say, oh gosh, you know what? Well, that take was the best of the four that we did for that scene. I don't like it. We need to change the dialogue because we did something later on, or it needs to be different, or you know, the scene needs to be shot differently, or we just need to get rid of it and do something different altogether. The reshoots are a normal process in filmmaking.
Well, I think partly it's social media is to blame because we were never involved in where they were in the process. Like we never knew like, oh, they finished principal photography. Oh, they started post-production. Oh, they just cast that role. Mm-hmm. We were never involved in that. Like think maybe 10 years ago even, except for maybe like you would hear something in like a more professional publication that does that. But like now we see what's happens on set because of social media, because of Instagram and Twitter. We see that from the actors, but also from directors. Like I think of like Ron Howard and I think, you know, like that kind of stuff. We're brought into the process more, which has its ups and downs, which means yes, we get to be part of it. And that's what we all love about it. But it also people who don't understand see that and they don't get the explanation. They just get the visual without any explanation behind it, and they're like, oh, that must mean something's bad or something's wrong because they don't know how it works, which is fine, but like I think it's a lack of
and
communication
conclusions and exactly it is I mean I love the inside stuff that we get nowadays that we see when they're done filming when thing you know and then you know we also get nervous like you know Solo, when's the trailer coming out? Well, it should have been out by now. It's not out yet. When you know, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, there may have been something wrong, but we don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I feel like most of the time, I don't want to know. Like, I feel like it ruins the movie-going experience if you bring people too far into the process. Like, how many movies that we watched and have loved maybe had hiccups along the way that now we know about, but watching them pure and not knowing about it, if we had, would it have colored our view or would it ruin an experience a little? You know, I just think that there's something to be said about the magic of movies still that is getting erased little by little.
Yeah, it could affect you, I guess, going to. I mean, I try not to let those kind of things affect me. If I know there's bad press about whatever was going on behind the scenes, it still may not affect the overall vision on screen that I end up seeing. And I'll look at that separately what was going on with the production process.
I think you're different than the viewing public. And I think we know from look at the Justice League thing. I mean, I think that had a huge impact of knowing that the mustache was from the Mission Impossible movie and that it was CGI. Like, why do we need to know that? I feel like that is ruining the magic of the movies. I do. I really do think that. I mean, I want to be brought into behind-the-scenes stuff on a certain level. That's fun. That's like expanding the mythology or expanding the thing that you love. But, like, I don't know. I was thinking about it with this Black Panther behind-the-scenes that they released. I refuse to watch one of them until I've seen the movie. I don't want to know. I don't want to see how you made the whatever thing, and I don't want to see, like, that's how I stunt coordinated that one scene. Because when I watch it, I'm going to be like, hey, that's how they did that. Like this, it ruins it for me a little bit on a certain level.
And I stay away from a lot of that stuff, too, on certain movies that I really want to see or really anticipating. I don't want to know the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I think you're right. With some of the, like, you know, with the Star Wars movies, I don't want to know the stuff. Now, with Solo, I don't care about the story. So I want to know all the stuff beforehand. And I'm searching out trailers or searching out spoilers for that. But for other stuff, you know, I don't want to know. Like, I don't want to know what's going on with Black Panther. I want to see this as is when I get to the movie on Thursday.
Yeah, I saw some behind the scenes last night, and I was like, no, lock it down. Don't you show me that stuff.
Well, What brought up this topic was there was a tweet from Josh Brolin.
I thought you said it was on Instagram.
Police Cable, as we already mentioned.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it was Instagram. Sorry. Yeah. He put a video out.
It was on social media.
Be specific.
On Twitter, too. But it's him getting back in shape for the reshoots for Deadpool 2. And it's this guy doing these, oh, my God, amazing stuff working out. It's not Josh Brolin, but
When is the release? What's the release date for Deadpool?
Pretty quickly, isn't it?
May.
Tim.
It's
Tim, get on that.
Yeah, it's one of the May movies where we have
it's like three months away.
Yeah, we have Solo, we have Deadpool, and we have Infinity War.
I get that. That is a short time period, but I still think it's pretty normal. And I just think it's because we know the process now. I mean,
and especially if they're not major reshoots, you can get away doing them this close to the movie.
And
you know, I mean, it's not like they have to send the film off for developing to Mystic Labs and come back weeks later. You know, no.
Different. I do think it's different when you feel that I know they did reshoots. I go into the movie and you see it in Justice League. You saw it. You could see exactly where it happened. And I think that's the difference. If I didn't know, I might have liked that movie a little better. I knew all the garbage that happened behind the scenes. I mean, I think it was a garbage movie, but I also think that that did not help it for me. You know?
Sure. Yeah. It was also a trailer released. You guys check out the teaser
I thought Deadpool, it was fantastic.
Tease number two?
This is what a quality teaser looks like. This is a quality teaser with the quality characters and quality actors.
I thought you were unhappy with it.
For a Marvel-related film.
Not Marvel.
Deadpool.
They're related.
Deadpool is
related. Oh, I thought you were talking about the Venom one. I was like,
No. We're not to Venom.
Oh my gosh. No. Sorry. Okay, continue.
No, this teaser, it's funny. It is really well done. I love it's just done in the Deadpool style.
It's in character with the same marketing panache that on the first
movie. They know exactly what they're doing in that marketing room.
Yeah. Yeah. And I must say I enjoyed the ad lib scene that Deadpool threw in there while they're supposedly redoing the graphics on Cable's arm.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I like that part better than the actual trailer. I'm like, this is classic Deadpool. You know, he's got two action figures. He's playing the scene out, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So I have a lot of hopes for this movie. Hopefully that we don't get the whole, you know, Phantom Menace syndrome here with this one and get too overhyped for this, because the first one was so good. We want it to be the same. I just hope it lives up to it.
Keep the faith.
Yeah, I think it will. I like that they're adding Cable to it. Cable's character, first of all, is just a really great character in the comics.
Yeah, I've always liked Cable.
I think it makes a great interaction between Cable and Deadpool, because you know Josh Brolin is going to play this very serious, straight-laced, hardcore character, and Deadpool is going to do nothing but mess with him. And it's just going to be heavy hitting. It's going to be just, I think, really great. So plus from what they show in the teaser, you've got like all the characters that we love from the first movie, even the taxi driver, who was one of the best characters in the original movie. So
he was.
I'm just so excited about it. I think it's going to be great.
And there's a lot of talk about what else they're going to put in this movie, whether it's going to be X-Force or the six-pack and so forth. It's going to be some good stuff. I hope they don't tie themselves down too tightly to the source material, because this movie takes itself so non-seriously. I think
that's the best part about it.
Exactly. So we had another trailer released this week. We saw Venom. Well, we didn't really see Venom.
It's just funny because everything Tim was saying, I thought he was talking about Venom, and I was like, whoa, like, I am shocked. Okay, continue.
For you, we're staying on trailers, just for you, Lizzie.
Okay, I'm with you.
So now, did you guys both see the teaser trailer for Venom?
Yeah.
Okay, and is now, let me ask, before you go any further on trailer, is this a movie you're both looking forward to seeing?
Yes.
Oh, you guys really want to see Venom?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I love the character of Venom.
Tim, I knew you did.
Oh, yes. I love Tom Hardy. Boyfriend. I also really like Venom. I think he's super interesting. I love the, symbiote relationship. I love Eddie Brock's character. I'm pumped for Venom, but also boyfriend Tom Hardy. You know what I mean? So both and together.
So So what did you think of the trailer?
It was okay.
We're all, yeah, Trivandrum, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. It was okay.
Go ahead, Tim. You go first.
Well, aside from Symbiote in a test tube, we did not see Venom.
Okay, I don't understand why everybody thought that was going to happen. This is an origin story of Venom. Why would you show the suit this early? Come on.
I
think we need to see.
This movie isn't even.
At least a glimpse of the trailer.
When is this movie coming out? Like October, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
come on. That's so much time. You're going to get saturated with that suit. You're going to be like, dang, I wish they wouldn't have shown me the suit so often. Like, that's what you're going to say.
I wasn't even looking to see like the whole thing or a lot of it, but just show me like something. Instead of the thing moving around in a giant test tube.
I mean, if the Venom suit was going to be a surprise to us, I wouldn't want to see it.
Yeah.
If you're going to, you know, but we all know it's coming.
Yeah.
So give us
absolutely
a bit.
Not. Give they did. Something. They put it in a test tube for you. That's all you get. I will say like no. I have low expectations for teasers, honestly. Like, I'm like, I don't. First of all, I think there is such a thing as too much in a trailer, teaser and regular trailer. I don't want, like, we were just talking about, I don't want to see the whole thing before I get into the theater. I don't want to show me the best parts. I want very, very minimal highlights. Right.
No, I agree. Now, 100%.
I will say this was super, like, I was like, I'm in because I love Tom Hardy and I'm interested in the movie. I was already sold. But, like, this, what would happen in this trailer? It was like Tom Hardy running and it was like the big, like,
that's the thing. There
like big noises. And I was like, this is like, he's on a motorcycle. And then he's like, I was like, I don't.
Yeah, it was, I mean, teasers traditionally are, they don't give you much of the story. They're very rapid fire imagery and that kind of thing. And I'm cool with that.
I don't know.
But it just didn't show us anything.
Well, even.
I mean, there was nothing to grab a hold of. So,
you know, a teaser isn't going to bring in new fans. It's supposed to tease the fans that are already sold on the movie like us. And I don't think it really teased enough for us to be more excited about it.
I don't think that's true at all.
And it didn't give anything. Well, no, I mean, a teaser is not going to bring in new fans that don't even know what Venom is.
If a good teaser could, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, teasers don't give you enough to really get you sold on the topic.
This is my main problem with it. It showed Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams. It's super, super, like, no Riz Ahmed. Like, hello, are you kidding me? Like, I don't know. I hope it's got more diversity. I hope it's got, you know, his character is like third build here on IMDb, so that bodes well. You know, you've got Jenny Slate. You've got, as far as I know, a good cast, but like Michelle Williams in the worst wig ever. Like, terrible, like blonde, weird wig that's like winged out. I don't know. It's not a 60s movie, so stop it. I think it was confusing. I was like, I was, again, already sold, totally in for it, but I was like, I don't know. They could have, meh. And that was not my reaction on Twitter. I was like, in for this. I'm in because I am already in for it. But then I started reading tweets and just people's reactions, and I was like, oh, really? You didn't have a lot. I didn't even like.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I think we're all sold on the movie. We're all anxious to see this. But when you really looked at the trailer, first time I got done watching it, it ended, and I'm like.
Yeah. No. Okay.
I'm like, okay, you know, it was a trailer or a teaser. You know, we know we're getting the movie now, but it didn't really do much.
I guess
for me.
I don't feel like it deserved to be eviscerated the way that I saw my Twitter feed go down. Like, people were ripping it apart, and I was like, well, okay, it's a teaser. It's not out till October, and you have super high expectations for a teaser trailer. Like, I don't know, give it, you have plenty of time to, like, be bought into it. There's so much time and so many other movies in between. I don't know. Maybe we'll get a bigger.
Yeah, we're going to forget about
it. I don't know. It's just early in the game.
By Thursday, we're not going to Venom who, what?
You know, yeah, exactly. Panther, yeah.
I wasn't really ripping it apart because I really wasn't shown much of anything to rip apart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really the only downer for me was that there's simply, I really didn't get to see Venom.
Right.
Beyond that, it just kind of fell flat for me. I'm not any less excited about the movie than I am. I just don't think that they built a good teaser. That's all.
I do just have my.
And that's fine.
I don't know about y'all's Twitter feeds, but mine was brutal. Like, people were just. I don't know. I was like, nah, dang.
I didn't see too much real negative, but just the whole. Where was Venom?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's pretty much what I saw. I also didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it on social media. So
I just must have come in at the exact wrong moment when everyone was just like losing their junk. I was like,
yeah,
guys, like, it's a teaser. Give it, I don't know. It's not that serious.
So Tim, I'm going to let you take the lead in this next one. I didn't see this story. I haven't actually read it yet, but Wesley Snipes was originally going to be Black Panther?
Well, see, this is interesting. So as you guys know, and a lot of our listeners know, Disney, or not Disney, Marvel, when Marvel was on, you know, the brink of bankruptcy, they divested a lot of their properties, which is how we ended up with Spider-Man at Sony and X-Men over at Fox, along with the Fantastic Four and all that stuff.
Deadpool.
And yep. So... one of those things that happened was that, let's see, what's this article say here? And I'm reading off of Screen Rant. They have, okay, so Columbia Pictures originally had the rights to Black Panther that they acquired from Marvel, along with the rights to Spider-Man and Ghost Rider. As they were looking to develop an adaptation in 94, They're looking to do this with Wesley Snipes in the title role. And basically the story goes on here that Stan Lee and Wesley Snipes and Columbia were trying to build something. And in the end, both Stan Lee and Wesley Snipes were not satisfied with what was coming to them. The scripts were not good, and they weren't getting a good combination of writers and directors coming at them. And this cycled through like for several years. And they finally just kind of dumped it. And there's an interesting quote here that it was difficult for Snipes to get people to understand that he wanted to play a comic book character, not a civil rights revolutionary.
Interesting.
Wow.
And so that kind of kicked around for a little while. Eventually, the rights to it got purchased by Artisan Entertainment, who did Blair Witch Project. And they kind of spun around trying to do something. One thing that they were very interested in doing, which is pretty incredible, and it's something that we kind of saw happen, was that they wanted to do a massive co-production deal with Marvel to produce adaptations of up to 15 of Marvel's biggest characters, including Thor, Deadpool, Captain America, Iron Fist. The deal also included potential live-action TV shows. But unfortunately, it never went anywhere. So it was kind of neat that they had this idea and this concept, which we actually did get at a later date in a different fashion. Lionsgate Films acquired Artisan, and they inherited their deal with Marvel. There was some additional negotiation with Wesley Snipes to get back into this, but he was unfortunately doing Blade 3, which really didn't need to be made.
I'm glad that worked out for him.
I mean, I love me some Blade, but Blade 3, no.
Yeah, no. So eventually that clock that we know that these studios had for doing productions of the films timed out. And so the rights for Black Panther ended up going back to Marvel.
Well, that worked out in all of our favor, didn't it?
Yeah, so that's mm-hmm. where we are now.
And the funny thing is, I'm reading through this article, Tim, and it seems like as late as 2007, they're working on making a version of this that I guess wasn't going to be part of the MCU, but didn't come to fruition for one reason or another. And I'm kind of glad because now we're getting this version of 2018.
The best possible version we'll ever be amazing. Get.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really things great because it ties well into the MCU story that we have. The special effects, you know, we're at the right time for the special effects. There's a lot of things. It's with what has been orchestrated by Marvel Studios for everything we've seen in the MCU now for the past 10 years, the timing has just been damn near perfect. And, mm-hmm. you know, obviously they've had to push some of it to line these things up. But man, just the orchestration of everything that we've seen, I just give so much credit to Marvel Studios for. They've just done an incredible job. I mean, despite the whole Ant-Man debacle, This has gone really well.
I do also appreciate, right. like, there are missteps in the midst of it, or, like, things that didn't work out how they would have anticipated. Hulk recasting, the Inhumans pushback, and then eventual, you know, is not happening. Like, those right. kinds of things, I think, ground it in still saying, like, productions go south. Marvel's not above reproach. It's not yeah. perfect. Iron Man 2 is not a great film. But overall, it's such a triumph, and it's changed the way... you know, worlds are built and the way people think about franchises and movies. Marvel is the standard. There's just no way to deny that. Yeah. They've created something amazing. This cast photo is like just absolute proof of that. And I appreciate that there are mistakes in the midst of it. You know, I can get on board with that. And Ant-Man's not one of them.
Well, and that's a really good point, because it does go to show that it's not perfect, and that's okay. And largely no one's really made a big deal about it. I mean, yeah, people have been disappointed with some individual projects, like Inhumans. We saw some projects like Agent Carter not go as far as they had hoped. But I also think Agent Carter was also kind of an add-on, where they said, hey, popular character, a lot of fans want to see her, let's build something. And we didn't get the ratings we wanted to, or the viewership we wanted to, so they ended up dropping it, unfortunately.
Well, they also botched her release schedule, but whatever, that's a different situation.
Yeah, and you know, and like you said, we've seen a couple of different Hulks. We've seen a couple of different Rhodes. They've had some things happen with contracts and that kind of stuff, but in the end, they've made it work.
They've made something very, very that we well. All really enjoy. I think that the crossover between television and movie with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing is one of the things that they've really had a tough time with. It is not what people anticipated going into it. They thought it was going to be just Captain America showing up on the show, them showing up in the movies, and it's really divided between the TV verse and the movie verse. They are very... They're part of the same universe, but they are very separated. And I think that's been something that people have been disappointed about. But it just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's humans making an art form that I think that gives them a grounding in still being human, you know?
Yeah.
So
what I would like to see, and I know actually there was a time several months ago that John and I had a discussion about this. John, who had guested on the show here about a month ago or so. And I don't know which one of us came up with the idea, so that's why I'm mentioning him, because I don't know if I should be taking credit for it or if it was his. But I think a great direction would be kind of in this next phase of things with the MCU. So from Infinity War forward, as they start to cut new contracts with actors and start to bring new actors in, to have a rider in these contracts that... for basically appearing in TV shows.
Yeah, at least like an episode. So, if it was one episode cameo role, like you don't need more than that.
Yeah, because I mean, understandably so, you know, to get, you know, Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, he was on.
Chris Evans or something like that. Well, yeah, they did get Samuel L. Jackson for a little
Sam
bit.
Sam will do a lot of things.
But to bring those actors into a TV show for... 5 minutes is a day of shooting, and that costs them a buttload of money.
Right.
And so I think that they need to, if they want to be serious about this one universe concept between network and streaming and film, they need to include that in the contract.
Yeah, I think that has not been a priority, though.
Movie contracts do. I mean, we're in a new era. We're in a new era of things, and I think that's the contracts need to follow suit with that.
Yeah, I think
so.
Yeah, but you know, the thing of it is, though, they have such a broad range of who they're getting for these movies. You know, it's everybody from, you know, people that you haven't really heard of much to people that are just outright movie stars that the rest of the cast is kind of going, oh my god, there's someone.
That's what that behind the scenes feature was like. Everybody was like, oh, that guy,
right?
Yeah,
kind of geeking out over certain people. Yeah. And that makes it tough when you have, you know, I don't want to say nobody's next to, you know, superstars.
Well, I think that's a strength, though.
There is that kind of, it is, but it's tough to make those structured contracts that way when you have somebody who's pulling down a lot more than somebody else, and how do you, but yeah, you know, I think it'll be easy to say, I don't write the contracts, but easy to say, hey, if you want to be in our movie, you're going to have to give us, you know, 2 days a year on set for a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really think that's a way to go, because that's what's going to create this whole one universe concept that they need to stop talking about and actually do, because that's really where they've been. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D., and I love S.H.I.E.L.D., I love the series, but it was supposed to be an extension of the MCU, and I don't think it's really lived up to
well,
it.
Well, I mean,
it definitely is in the same universe, but it really hasn't. This whole it's all connected thing that they really promoted, like in season two or whatever, it just didn't work. It didn't happen.
Well, and let's talk about the fact that Coulson wasn't even in the photo. Like, if there was going to be anybody in the class photo, I mean, I know he's transferred over to TV, but like, bro, it's Coulson.
Yeah, he was in the film.
But he's not even in the class photo. And I don't doubt that they tried to get him, but like, what?
He was busy. He had stepped out to the catering truck to grab a sandwich when he shot the photo.
No. I think I was most disappointed. I mean, I was very disappointed not to see Loki, because I love me some Loki. Bye, Brian.
Okay, so let's get some DC stuff now. We talked about Marvel to the end of the earth here. What? No, Lizzie,
okay,
on.
Talk about it. Go ahead.
Let's see. Metropolis is going to be getting a series. It looks like it's going to go straight to streaming video. Kind of weird. First of all, I didn't know DC was doing their own streaming service. Which
I didn't either. It's interesting because this series, Metropolis, I've heard of, because it's kind of supposed to be a counterpoint, a reflection of
Gotham. I think we talked about it one time.
I think we did. But I didn't know DC was doing a streaming service. And what in the world do they have to do a streaming service with?
Oh, that's what they have. Zero things.
Yeah. Are they going to recycle the same stuff over like every seven hours?
Oh, they have zero things, Tim.
It's just 7 hours. Repeat. Rewind. I could do that with my DVR. Give me a couple weeks to record all the DC stuff. I can do that with my DVR. Yeah,
but if you do it in DVR, you can't pay $15 a month for it.
Well, partly what's confusing is
I could charge you $15 a month for it.
Thanks, Tim.
Well, you know what's confusing is DC doesn't own the majority of their properties. Like, I mean, the way that Marvel is a studio that owns its properties. I mean, even Marvel, obviously, we talked about how it's dissolved plenty of them. But DC has like four shows on the CW, five shows on the CW, right? You know, Gotham.
It's all Warner Brothers produced, though.
Is it?
Doesn't Warner Brothers have the, even though Gotham's like on what, CBS?
Gotham is on Fox.
Gotham's on Fox.
CW
is,
CW has four shows. Supergirl was on ABC, but then it went over to CW with the others. If you think about, I mean, I don't know, do they own Smallville? Do they own like the Christopher Reeve Superman movies? Do they own the Chris Nolan Batman series? Like, it's very diverse. What is DC? Like, do they own the Tim Burton Batman? Yeah. Do they own, like, that's weird to me.
Oh, yeah, they do. Because
they do.
A lot of that is Warner Brothers.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, but that's weird to me that it's a DC streaming platform. That sounds like a Warner Brothers platform to me, and that would have a lot more content.
But Warner Brothers has been the production studio for them for a long time. The interesting thing, though, is that the distribution company, then they have to change some contracts with distributors if they're going to take stuff from other places like Fox, because Fox has nothing to do with Warner Brothers. So, yeah, they would have to pull stuff in or not, but there's not enough content for DC.
Well, it's if it, like I said, if it
and
was,
I don't mean to disparage DC.
Well, I know. I think if it was Warner Brothers, that would somehow make sense. It doesn't make any sense for DC to release their own. I mean, I guess if they did 10 seasons of Smallville alone, would fill up some.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm actually rereading the article on Dark Horizons here, and it does say production on the Warner Brothers television and DC Entertainment series will begin later this year. No, it's just a series. It doesn't say streaming service. I was reading that wrong again. Yeah. So It sounds like they're in bed together for everything, so maybe it's means for the streaming service as well, but
I just feel like they're being
it's very growing. Vague. Very vague.
Super strange.
Yeah. Let's see.
Wait,
here.
Really quick, do you think that it's
Super Strange a combination of Doctor Strange and Superman?
No Marvel DC crossovers, Timothy.
Oh.
But
okay,
I do wonder if it's in response to Disney's future streaming, you know, are they trying to get ahead of the game? You know, obviously, but I mean,
oh yeah.
Do they really think that they're going to be competing with Disney?
Content-wise, maybe.
I mean, they're
content-wise, who's got more
exactly? Who's has more hits too?
They got to build an awful lot to really justify a streaming service. And again, I'm not disparaging DC. I don't think any of us are. It's just when you look at the library of available stuff.
No,
I just don't know that it's there.
No. What they have is really good. I love what they have. I mean, I love if they had like the CBS, the CW shows, they had Smallville, if they had the Nolan stuff, the Christopher, they have a lot of great stuff out there, but like it feels more CBS streaming service than like Disney Netflix streaming service. You know what I mean?
I'm already paying for that.
But I just mean it's like in a different caliber to me. I'm just like Disney will compete with Hulu and Netflix and DC will be over there on the CBS shelf of like, well, I guess I'm going to get that because I really want to watch that show.
Disney will tell you who is allowed to compete with them.
Yeah. No, Disney already.
That's where Disney's at right now.
Disney's like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. There's people at Disney laughing right now.
Oh, you want to do a streaming service? I mean, I hope it works.
Oh. Are you guys Josh Gad fans?
I like him. I think he's pretty funny. Not a huge fan, but he does well.
I love Olaf.
No, I'm talking about Josh Gad, not
yeah,
Olaf.
I love Olaf. No, I heard you. Yeah.
See, I like warm hugs. I had to ask who Josh Gad was because I don't recognize the name. And
that's so sad.
I didn't see Frozen, so yeah.
Incorrect.
Whatever. Anyway, he might be looking at getting a role as Penguin.
I could see that.
I can definitely see that. I think he could do really well at it.
Yeah, he'd kill it.
Yeah, and this is tied in with what's expected to be a Nightwing film, which is coming up, which I'm also really excited about. I think Nightwing is an awesome DC character.
I love me some Nightwing.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see Penguin in it. I'm excited to see this possibility of Josh Gad being involved in the production. I think it'd be pretty cool.
I feel like he would have like notes of Danny DeVito a la Batman Returns in that like sort of kooky, funny way, but also like could be super dark if he wanted to.
Yeah. And I'd like to see that side of Josh Gad's acting because we really haven't gotten to see that dark side of it. And I'd like to see.
I was going
to
say, you guys talk about him being in kids stuff.
Yeah, he has
a dark character, really?
He was in Murder on the Orient Express. I mean, he wasn't dark, but.
No, he didn't have a dark character there either. But his character was a little quirky.
I feel like he could have that range, though. I just don't think that he's been given the chance. He's a great actor. I feel like he could have it in him.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see him try it. I think it's a good casting choice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, stay tuned to see what happens with Nightwing and see if he gets that. Let's see. Screen Actors Guild has released a code of conduct for sexual harassment.
I mean, did they not have one before?
Yeah. This kind of follows up on the story we had, a couple weeks ago, somebody else had released theirs, right? Was it the Academy or somebody else?
Well, No, I think the one that we were talking about before was for the Wonder Woman 2 production. So for the specific...
But they were the first one to sign on to it. It was some other group that had put forth their, code of conduct or at least rules for sexual misconduct. And I think we said the same thing then. It's like, well, I mean, it's been out for a long time in corporate America anyway. I mean, they're just catching on to this, but yeah.
What's I think very relevant to this is that, so this is SAG and AFTRA, SAG being the Screen Actors Guild, and AFTRA is like the American Federation of TV and Radio Actors, I think.
Okay. Dang, that was good.
So they're a, they're joint labor unions. And so for them to put forward this particular guidance is very relevant, because if you are anyone who is going to be in a production, the contract that they're signing has to be in accordance with SAG-AFTRA. So that's a big deal. And when you're looking at labor management relations, that contract is everything. And the other great benefit of this is then what this means is that usually if something happens in the workplace and the employee is grieving it, the labor union will represent the employee. So this provides some, not only a legal foundation, but also legal representation to folks who this occurs to. So this is a big deal, and this is an important direction, I think, when you're looking at the unions coming together and doing this and pushing the companies, the production companies, to also move in this direction.
I mean, obviously, as we've seen, this has not been something that has been a standard in Hollywood.
Right.
Hello. But
yep.
I just think, I mean, I guess I need to quit being surprised by things like this, because whatever, but it just seems like, what, 2018, and you finally put out like a code of conduct for sexual harassment?
I mean, that's kind of what we joked about before, that,
that's,
you know,
crazy.
In corporate America, we've had these kind of rules forever, and I think it's a good move. It's great they're doing this. It's a little late, but, you know, hey, at least you're coming on board and doing the right thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now after they know the garbage that they've allowed to happen for so long, because they didn't, you know what I mean? It's like partly, yes, going forward, but it's also a little too little too late that you did not.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's never too late. Let's just say that. It's never too late to do the right thing. But I just, have you ever seen those like ridiculous 80s like workplace sexual harassment videos? You weren't like, hey, we should get one of them.
Everybody knew this was going on and nobody did anything about it. I mean, you know, talk about too little too late. I mean, I kind of rolled my eyes last week when there was the Attorney General in Michigan for the whole sexual harassment trial for what's the guy's name? The doctor for the U.S. Olympic. Now some Attorney General is saying, yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of this and see who knew what when. I'm like, he's already been convicted. You're just doing this for a grandstanding political statement on your own self to be able to promote yourself in the media. And, you know, now people will vote for you next time you run for office. And then somebody else said the same thing about the Olympic Committee, too. They're doing the same thing about, we are going to run an exhaustive investigation and get to the bottom of what happened when, who knew what when, why didn't anybody say anything early? You know, like, we all know what happened. People turned a blind eye to this and didn't do anything. We don't need to spend tons and tons of time on money on something we already know, but you know, it's after the fact. It's like, why bother? Okay, so are you guys fans of Firefly?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think we ever talked about Firefly really in depth on the show.
What have we been doing with our lives?
I know. So, you know, huge series, lasted for ever,
so
right?
Many,
I
mean, episodes
for seasons and seasons and
so prolific. Well,
that one season and the 14, I think it was 14 episodes. So yeah,
and that movie once.
Fox's biggest mistake, and the one movie, where that one guy died,
two guys died.
I was thinking the one surprising one. Anyway. Well, so if you guys ever wanted that series to continue and do more with it than just the one movie,
absolutely.
You're good. But I read an article once that said, because of the nature of what happened with the show, it made us all brown coats because we were on the losing side. And if that hadn't have happened, would we be feeling the way we do about it? And it was a very interesting article. And I was like, oh,
that's interesting.
I never thought of it that way. Doesn't mean I would not love to have seen more, but even like the nature of it getting the movie because of the fans, like it has this like crazy weird mythology in our hearts because of that. And I just think the article is spot on that if that hadn't have happened, would we feel like we are brown coats with Mal in the way that we do because of what went down. So partly
that's true.
The article was like, you're never going to want to have a movie or a continuation of the series, 'cause it would ruin that for you. And I was like, dang, that's like serious. So I don't know. I would love it, but we would be getting something
to add on to this now. Title Books and 20th Century Consumer Products are putting together a series of novels. The first three have been announced. Basically, the first three are going to deal with just characters, basically character development. So we have Big Damn Hero by Nancy Holder. This will focus on just Mal Reynolds. And I guess in this story, he gets kidnapped by some veteran browncoats. I have no idea why. We haven't got any details, but that's cool. So we're going to get that story. The Magnificent Nine by James Lovegrove is going to feature Jane, and he gets a distress call from his ex, which puts him onto a desert planet. So I think, you know, Eric will be really happy about the desert planet stuff. So hopefully he'll read that because he's a Firefly fan too. And lastly, we get Generations, which I think this one sounds the most intriguing to me. Generations by Tim Levin. It's going to focus on River Tam, and it's going to deal with finding one of the legendary Ark ships. So I think this is good to see. I hope they expand this out. I'm not saying we need 100 stories and 100 different novels, but I'm looking forward to these. These will be fun to read.
I think they should definitely be part of RCN Book Club, by the way.
I was thinking about that, yes, because we have a lot of fans of Firefly, and I think as long as the books are good.
I love when a franchise takes a different medium. Like, and Joss Whedon is actually really good about that. He has... there's a like a comic book series for Buffy that's season 8, which continues on the story because it
really
it had 7 seasons on television, and then when it got canceled / ended, they continued on in comic book form, and I think they're like on. I mean, I don't know if they've continued on past season 10, but I think they got at least 2 more seasons out of it. They sort of characterized it as a season. Which is different than normal comic book release even, but I thought that was such an interesting way to continue the story, given that like the big studios wouldn't support the continuation. So I love something like this. I think even Firefly had a comic book run for a while.
I think it did a comic book run. Yeah. And like he did on that series you were just talking about, he is going to be a consulting editor
on
these books, which I think makes a lot of sense. You know, he can have some creative control over how the series goes and how what the books do for us. So,
like, he's got to. It's just, it'd be weird if he wasn't.
Yeah, well, it could go in different directions that we don't really like either. So that's good.
I'm in for this. So I love this.
End of our news, unless you guys have something else that we haven't, that I missed or talked about. Tim, you found out What Were They Thinking for us this week, and I saw this as well too and didn't put it in there, and I'm glad you did. Joaquin Phoenix to play the Joker in a standalone film?
GDC, don't you already have an actor who plays Joker? Just saying.
He did really well too, right? I mean,
it's really weird.
This is like Marvel saying, you know what? We're going to cast a different actor for Tony Stark in the Iron Man films versus the Avenger films.
Yeah, it is.
Stop. Come on. This is nothing short of asinine. It's stupid.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is I feel like...
As if DC needs more bad press, right? More things fans to talk about and say... Really?
Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know what's crazy is I feel like Joaquin would actually be like a sick Joker. I'm thinking of like Gladiator when he's like psychotic and you're like, oh my, like he's terrifying in Gladiator to me. I just think he's so scary in that movie. So maybe it's just me, but I think he could actually be good at it, but it makes zero sense given what they've put out on screen. It makes no sense. It makes, did I mention how it makes no sense, you guys? Because it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I can see if they didn't have an actor already set.
Right.
That worked really, really well. Now, sure. I know some people have some problems with Jared playing Joker. I mean, they thought he was a little bit weird for the role, and he was, but I thought he sold it. You know, I thought he did a good job making us believe he was the Joker,
he
right?
He did. It's simply a different portrayal of Joker than what folks have been used to, but I think for what generally little we saw, I thought he did pretty well.
I think he was sufficiently psychotic. I mean,
oh, yeah.
We can all say God, that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And quite honestly, what I'll reflect this on, and we spoke not too long ago about Josh Gad playing Penguin. Well, consider that you already, the DC universe, I know it's not the cinematic universe.
There barely is one.
But DC, within its properties, currently has an actor playing Penguin. They have Robin Lord Taylor, who's playing Penguin in Gotham, who I think knocks it out of the freaking park. He plays an incredible Penguin. Why in
but
the
they
world
already proved could, they don't they've already proved to us that they won't use TV actors in,
right. They did
in
it with Flash
in their movies.
Right. Right. And so
I think
DC wants to keep, you know, peering these things out, and that's fine. So have, you know, your separate TV universe versus your cinematic universe, and if that's what they want to do. But then this is even more silly because they're gonna have two different actors playing Joker in films. I don't understand it.
Well, is Leto continuing on? Is he going to be in Suicide Squad 2? Oh, well, that's even dumber.
As far as I know, his contract is still active and they still expect him to be in films.
Also,
but they don't just don't want him to do a standalone film. And that's apparently the thing. I
mean, even in his story that you posted here from Variety, it says insider stressed that Jared Leto, who starred in Suicide Squad as Joker, is still on board for the character in DC Universe. And that Phoenix has no effect on what happens with Leto's character in the future DC films. Okay, so why are you talking to him then? I mean, you know, they talk about the movie for Joaquin Phoenix being under a yet-to-be-announced new banner for DC Comics. They're so successful, they have to have another movie studio name? is that what they're doing?
It just sounds to me like they're doing a shotgun approach. It's like, hey, let's get something that works well and put a lot of effort into that instead of trying to hit a whole bunch of targets at the same time. And I know a lot of people criticize us for being tough on DC, but man, DC does not always make the best choices. They do put out some really good stuff, but they are not consistent with making good choices.
No, it's tough not to criticize them when they do stuff like this. It's like,
yeah,
right.
Why?
I mean, I don't think we're being picayune here. I think we're just being, you know, legit about what they're saying and holding them out to it. I mean, you know, at the end of this article, Tim, I thought it was interesting too. They also said that this rumor about Leonardo DiCaprio was the first person they talked to for the standalone film.
No,
the Joker. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, and
that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I love DiCaprio's performances. I think
I do too.
He's really, but he's not a Joker. I cannot imagine him.
I actually think DiCaprio would be a sick Two-Face.
He could be. The thing is, DiCaprio can play a psychotic to an extent.
He's a great actor.
He's such a great actor.
I just can't see him in that role.
You know, he's played a couple of roles where he's like strung out on drugs and that kind of stuff. And the portrayal that he gives is really good. But I don't know that he can sell that full-time psychotic thing. Which actually makes me think that Liz's idea is freaking fantastic.
Well, I think there's something about
a straight-laced person, you know, split personality, straight-laced psychotic, because that could be really brilliant.
Well, and the idea of like the vanity of Two-Face, you know what I mean? He's got such a vanity about him.
Yeah.
And I feel like playing on the Leonardo DiCaprio of the world and it being Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know. I just think that would be such an interesting choice, but regardless, like, don't cut your brand. Like, what have we said about DC before? with the like Flash and what you've got going on in the DC universe on television that's so successful, stop cutting your brand. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. They don't even know what their brand is. I mean, if we're over here watching Deadpool like kill it in marketing, we're over here watching DC flounder. And it's sad because I love their characters. I want to see them succeed. Guys, I love DC. Stop it. I love them. I want them to win. But this is so painful to watch. I don't know.
And I don't know that I could be sold on Joaquin Phoenix playing Joker either.
I feel like he'd do an amazing job, but like I'd also be like, why? I feel like they saw that. I feel like this is what it makes me feel like. They saw that Tom Hardy got cast as Venom, and people were like, yes, Venom, standalone origin story for a villain, like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, villain. But like, you know, and then they were like, oh, you know what I mean? I don't, it just, it seems so weird to me.
Joaquin Phoenix, and again, I mean, he's another actor that I like the roles that he plays. I like the films that he chooses. He is not, I don't know that he can play crazy Joker.
See, I think people said that about Heath Ledger. And I think people, I think you don't see it till you see it. Then you're like, oh.
I mean, I think he could. I'm just more scratching my head about this one because they already have somebody who's doing a remarkably good job.
Yeah, I don't think the question is whether he could or not. I think he shouldn't. It's weird. Like, why is he hello, why aren't we getting a standalone Harley Quinn? How epic would that be? Like, she was so perfect in Suicide Squad. And if there was one person besides Will Smith that should get a standalone, it's her.
She was clearly the most popular character. She was really the central character
hands down.
That film. And yeah, I think they could get away with doing a film for her. I mean, the thing is, it'd be tough. They could have material to do it without Joker, but I think it would be a better film with Joker considering her origin and her entire story is really built around Joker and her infatuation with Joker. Where it falls apart for me is, I think, just kind of my own personal feeling, is that it's a hugely abusive relationship, and I don't want to see that on film.
It's the worst.
Yeah. But but her as a character, I think, is absolutely fascinating. And I think that her portrayal by,
Margot Robbie.
Yeah, by Margot Robbie. Speaking of associations to Leonardo DiCaprio, considering that they've performed together. I mean, she was just freaking, she was brilliant in the role. She did incredible.
I mean, you know, I picture like a really dark rom-com, like superhero rom-com, but you're right, their relationship's terrible, and it's exhibited in Suicide Squad, the abusiveness of like him taking advantage of her and her like blind devotion to him. In the cartoon you can get away with it because it's cartoon and you let it go a little like boink on the head with an anvil and everybody's fine, but like it would be really tough. But I feel like I don't know. I don't get this at all, given the other characters in Suicide Squad and in the DC universe. But aren't they? I read an article, I don't know if it's true or not, about Batfleck not being long for the DC verse and him getting a recasting.
That's a possibility.
I saw some of that too,
I think if that happens,
that at some point
they're going to have a come to Jesus moment.
I just don't know. You know, and really, I mean, also, along the same lines as a considering a Harley standalone that doesn't include Joker, a Joker standalone that doesn't include Batman.
Yeah.
You know, there are some characters, and I'm not saying that Joker can't support his own movie.
Oh, he super could.
But they're so tied together.
The origin of Joker and the motivation of Joker is all about Batman. We saw it. We see it really in every rendition of Joker, and for as slapsticky as it was, hell, the Lego Batman movie.
Oh my gosh, it's epic.
Stressed that whole dynamic between Joker and Batman. Because if Batman doesn't give a damn about Joker, Joker doesn't exist. It's that's the foundation of their entire relationship.
Well, and the other beauty of Batman and his villains is that none of those villains would exist without him. Neither would he exist without the villains. It's the juxtaposition and the dichotomy of good and evil playing out in Gotham that is most interesting about the Batman verse. And so I do think Joker could stand alone because he's such an interesting character just overall. But I do, it's that dichotomy that really works so well for it in every iteration, like you're saying. And there's, I think it's in the Nolan one where he's talking about like, if I'm not here, they're not there. If I'm not here, no one's in danger because they're not doing what they're doing. They're doing it because of me. And if and I created them. He creates his own demons. And so like, I don't know. I just love that about it. And if they could explore that more, I don't know. They did it well in the Nolan verse, I feel like. So I don't know. I think they're again, rebooting and harping on a concept that we've seen played out a lot of times. Whereas they're not thinking of the little nooks and crannies, even though you don't like Ant-Man, Tim, it's such a different, interesting direction to take that no one would have foreseen. And it's a little niche that a lot of people do like. And so why not explore a weird little like character that you have? I guess, okay, I'm excited about Shazam. I'm going to tell you that right now. Zachary Levi's playing Shazam. I think that has some really cool
potential. Yeah.
Super excited about it. Like, that's a character that people do know peripherally, but they don't know everything about. And I think that's a great choice for DC. I don't know. Go fringy with it. Come on. Ah!
I just, you know, to me, and I know you're a big Superman fan, but to me, they could do whatever they want with the Superman corner of the DC universe because I really don't give a damn. I've never been a fan. I mean, the original films, I enjoyed the 80s films, 70s, 80s films. But the general concept of Superman, I'm not a fan of. Too overpowered, just yeah.
If but Jesse Batman, Eisenberg wasn't playing Lex, I'd say like a sick Lex Luthor movie. I'd be in for that so hard. Not with Jesse Eisenberg.
And I think there's a lot that they could do with that. But the Batman stuff fascinates me, and it hurts me to see them messing around like this with the stuff that is, you know, Batman centric, and that just because I think there's so much depth, and I don't know that Joker should be in a standalone film, and I have no idea why they're splitting the actors who portray it. But that's
super weird.
People with bigger paychecks than ours are making those decisions, so.
We should ask for a raise.
We should, or Tim should start calling studios and giving his opinions.
No.
I cannot confirm or deny that I've had discussions with Lucasfilm about the Thrawn trilogy. Oh, Tim, but
I don't think he should do that. Please, don't do that.
I can't discuss it. There might have been a non-disclosure agreement. There might not have been.
For somebody who can't discuss it, you certainly talk about it an awful lot. Okay, folks, that's about all we got for this week. It's all we're thinking about. So if you have any thoughts or any feedback for us, please send us an email. You can do that to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. Best way to get a hold of all of us.
Oh. Hold on.
Yeah, Lizzie, that's where you come in. Yeah.
Sorry. And also find us online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can also find us on Twitter @randomchatter. For the network general business. Me, I am at Nerd in the City. Lou is at Lou Secchi, LouSecki. And Tim is Qui-Gon Tim with two M's. You can also now find us on Instagram. You guys. Yay! I don't know what goes on there. So I can't say that it's amazing yet, but I'm pretty sure it will be soon.
It's getting there. It's got a few posts.
It's brand spanking new. So you should get on board now. And Instagram is my main jam, yo. So I'm just saying.
Still bright and shiny.
Yeah.
But where can they find us on Instagram?
Oh, random. I mean, hello. @randomchatter.
That's right. You can also find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Truly, our entire catalog of shows is on there. You can find all of our latest stuff. We have polls, we have blogs, we have all sorts of good things. And we have, you know, news. There's things happening. If you've been a listener of ours, even just over the last few months, we've introduced some new shows and some scheduling and some concepts and that kind of stuff. So lots of good things happening on. Head over to randomchatter.com to find it all out.
Oh my God, the Random Chatter Instagram just got followed by Lizzie and she liked all of our stuff.
Bam!
Wow.
It's like, why is my phone going nuts?
That's in real time, you guys. You just heard it here. Nerd in the City is following Random Chatter.
You know, granted, she was all excited about this days ago and didn't follow us till now, but
I forgot.
So, wow.
I totally forgot.
So, Tim, do you see where we rate here?
I fixed it. I'm following both of you, you dorks. Okay.
So, of course, we'd love it if you spread the word about us. Leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcast from. Mm. And, of course, if you have some friends, tell them about us, too.
And, of course, we appreciate your support on Patreon. Financial support helps us keep the lights on around here. You can head over to randomchatter.com/Patreon to find out more about how you can support us. Just $1 a month helps us out a lot. And for everything that you give us, we also give back. So with that $1 a month, that gets you on to our Discord community. And so we've talked a lot over the last, year and a half about Slack. Slack has been the community that we run. We decided just recently, we just kind of moved everyone over in the last week over to Discord. We found a lot more options with Discord as they have improved some of their services. We have better integration with Patreon. We have some integration with Twitch, which we're going to be trying out pretty soon as a platform, maybe doing some live video feeds of different podcasts. You get to see Lou yawn live action. You get to see Liz's pretty smile and her weird dancing thing that she's doing. We're just going to skip that.
It's not weird at all.
If you've seen Elaine in Seinfeld, that's kind of... but also you can kind of sample Discord. If you want to see what's going on there, you can actually join us for free over in Discord. If you head over to randomchatter.com/Discord, you can join us in our public lobby. So we have a public lobby set up and you can chat with us, with hosts, with other hosts, with other listeners who are in there and kind of get a taste for some of the sometimes crazy conversation that goes on. Just that $1 a month will get you access to more channels within Discord, where we have basically chat rooms set up for things like our different shows and different topics and that kind of stuff. So if you want to talk Star Wars, if you want to talk Star Trek, if you want to talk books, if you want to talk gaming, whatever the case may be, we have a bunch of different channels within Random Chatter on Discord set up for that. Of course, levels higher than that get you different perks that we give back to you, including things like bonus content and other exclusive things. So randomchatter.com/Patreon. And thank you very much for your contributions.
The question is, what color is the furniture in our lobby? And do I need to redecorate? That's what I want to know.
We actually need more stuff on the walls. That's kind of,
boring.
You probably do need to redecorate because it was set up by, you know, Eric, Tim, and I.
Yeah, you need a ladies' touch.
Mostly Eric. I just kind of, he said, hey, like, you guys want a room with me? And I'm like,
Tim's distancing himself from the gray carpet and the gray wall and the lumpy couch.
Yeah. What we need is like one of those racks with all the brochures on what to do in the area, just so that they know like what's available to them. And we need like a pretty lamp and like maybe a coffee table book about Star Wars. I'm just saying.
A fish tank in the corner, maybe.
Oh my gosh, angel fish and jellyfish. Okay. I want a jellyfish tank.
I brought in one of those plastic ficus things.
You're a fire.
In the corner. It's a little dusty. I actually took it from another office, but
we have real plants in our lobby. Rude.
Oh boy.
And the music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stally, which is also playing in our lobby if you listen really close.
But it's the elevator music version of it. Yeah. Okay, guys, that brings us to the end of another episode. We will see you in about a week. Take care. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Random Chatter. This is episode number 165, recorded on, what's this, Sunday, February 11th? Is that today the 11th?
Yes,
today 166, is the 11th. 166, bro.
Oh. One thing I didn't change in the show notes.
166.
160. Oh, you're right.
Oh, just start okay, over again.
We're going to start that again.
And you changed it in the show notes. What did you do?
I changed the title. I didn't change it in the top of the show notes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Eric, you can start this again. So we're going to start this right now.